Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you that you are our good shepherd that guides us and leads us. And Father, I just pray right now that you would anoint the word, that it would touch and minister to our hearts and our lives. We'd be changed and transformed by the power and authority of your word and by the power of your Holy Spirit. God, we just give you all the praise, all the glory. And everyone said, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Thanks, John, for being helping us out with worship today. That was beautiful. That was great. You know, the Lord's timing is just unbelievable sometimes. I don't often get it, you know. You're praying, you don't understand all the time, and then the Lord just sends what you need, when you need it, and how you need it. I'm really looking forward to John continuing to grow with our group and our group growing. I think it was good timing. It was a good time for him and a good time for us. And so, you know, God is faithful. Even in challenging and challenging times in our lives, God is faithful. It may seem like sometimes we may be in a storm, but if we'll continue to keep our focus on Christ, he just makes ways for his mercy and his grace to flow in our lives and opportunities for us to express our love and desire to do that to him. It's just amazing to me, how God does work in our lives, how he just reveals himself, that he's still at work in our lives. You know, we can be at points where we feel down and feel like we're missing God and we're not, and God's not there. And then we just, you know, we come to church and a opportunity opens up for us, or someone says something to us that just encourages us and strengthens us. So he's just faithful to just show up right at the right moment all the time. I so appreciate his timing most of the time. Amen. Oh, I know he's always right on time. Amen. God is always on time. Sometimes I just wish he'd be early. Amen. Amen. Well, today, hey, I'm going to talk today. The title of my message today is The Past Tenses of God's Word. The Past Tenses of God's Word. It's important for those of us that are seeking God or seeking after the mercies, the grace, the power of God to begin to work in our lives, to see that appropriating faith, faith that gets hold of things, faith that brings the promises of God into our lives, is taking and using what God offers us, what is taking and using what God provides and says, hey, this is yours. And faith grabs onto that and takes hold of that. Hope is expecting a blessing sometime in the future. But faith is taking it now, what God offers, is taking exactly what God has said in his word and just grabs a hold of it now. We are to believe what God says he has done for us and then act upon it, taking our blood-bought liberties, just as the slaves of the South did during the Emancipation Proclamation of Abraham Lincoln. You know, when Abraham Lincoln put forth that proclamation that declared that no man would be a slave and that the slaves were set free, did you know that they had to take that. They had to take their freedom. If they wanted, they could remain in the bondage that they were in. But if they wanted to leave, they could leave. But if they wanted to stay, they could stay. And it's interesting, the gospel is a worldwide emancipation proclamation of the liberty from the service and bondage of the old tyrant master of sin and sickness, the devil. The gospel came to proclaim to us the freedom from the bonds of sin. But here's the thing, is this proclamation that Christ has given us, the gospel, must be apprehended. We must take it for ourselves. We must grab hold of it Otherwise, it has no effect in our lives. We can remain in the bondage of the enemy if we choose to. If we decide that what we would rather do is stay sick and in sin, we can. We can stay in that. When Jesus said it was finished, he meant that the work was done, complete as God sees it. And God expects us to reckon as done what Jesus said was done. We need to reckon that in our own lives. We need to come to terms with the fact that Jesus said it is finished. The past tense of God's word means that it's settled, that it's sealed, that the final decision of his will has been made when he makes it past tense. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, we read, Christ has redeemed us. Christ has redeemed, which is past tense, has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. God has put our redemption from the curse of the law in the past tense. And we receive our deliverance when we do the same. When we put it in the past tense. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, in the last part of that, it says, we read, he himself took, past tense, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who himself bore, past tense, bore our sins in his body on a tree, that we, having died to sin, our past tense, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we were, past tense, healed. We were healed. We were sinners. By his grace, we are not. By his mercy, by his promise, we are not. God wants us all to appropriate the past tense of his word regarding his redemption for our souls and our bodies from sickness and disease, and go forth in obedience, acting as if we believe him. He wants to take these past tense things and he wants to move them into our lives in the past tense so that they are past tense to us. Having used to be a sinner, having used to be sick, put them in the past tense because we take the past tense word of God. And then we actually believe him. When God puts a promise in the past tense, he authorizes and expects us to do the same. Nothing short of this is appropriating faith. In other words, as long as it's in the future tense, it is hoping. Let me give you kind of an example. We have a blessed hope as believers. And that blessed hope is the coming of Christ, the second coming of Christ. His imminent return, that is a hope. I don't care how much faith you muster up, he ain't coming until it's time. Because it's not an appropriating thing, it's a hoping thing, it's a future thing. But when he begins to put things in the past tense and says they're already done, those things we appropriate by faith. In Mark chapter 11, 24, we read, Jesus authorizes us and commands us to put the reception of the blessing we pray for in the past tense. When we begin to pray and ask God for things, we are to put it in the past tense if he has. He says, therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them and you will be granted, and it will be granted to you. It will be when you have received it. You have to already put it in the past tense. We are to continue to believe that God gives us what we ask for when we pray and continue to praise Him and thank Him for what He has given us. Once you pray, thank Him for what He's given you. It is after we believe that we receive what we ask for. After we believe that He has heard our prayers, that God manifests His finished work. It is after we believe in what God has already done that He will manifest His finished work in our lives. It is then that the imperishable seed, His word, begins to grow. The farmer has to get the sowing of his seed, and get this, because this is a great illustration. The farmer has to get the sowing of his seed into the past tense before it is possible to reap a harvest. In other words, he has to go out and plant the seeds in the ground, cover it with dirt, water it before it will ever happen. The seed has to be in the ground. He can't leave it in the bag and say, "Oh man, am I got a harvest a coming?" It don't come. The harvest won't come until the seed is planted. And the same thing is true for us. The imperishable seed must be placed in the good ground of our hearts. It must be placed into the past tense, and then we will begin to see the miracle of God's growth as we plant it into our hearts. It is necessary before the seed can begin its work. You know, that's why, I know this is going to sound weird, but that's why I always say that the sword is not your Bible, okay? Because the sword, or your Bible, hand me a Bible there, honey. Yep, I hope I can illustrate this, but the sword, or the Bible, is not your sword, okay? It's a bag of seeds. It's the stone by which you sharpen your sword. See, until you take the seed out of the bag and put it into the ground by faith, it won't start growing. The manifestation of God's finished work will not begin until it gets into the ground. It won't do anything in the bag. You've got to get it out of the bag and plant the seed. You've got to get the stone, open it up, and begin to sharpen the sword. Because the sword of the Word of God is every word that proceeds out of your mouth. The abundance of what comes out. Listen, that's why you can't. You can't claim the promise of God until it's in the past tense. It's not a sword that destroys the work of the enemy until it's in the past sense, until it's in us, and then we begin to confess it as the truth of our lives. I am saved when I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth. Before that, it's just a seed that must be planted into my life. And it must, and then when someone says, "So are you saved?" And I say, "I am saved by the blood of Christ, and by the work of Christ, I am saved." That is the seed, the sword coming out. That's the promise that's become alive in my life and now comes out. Does that make sense? I hope so. In John 11:41, I got you all thinking now. You're all sitting there going, "Oh, okay." In John 11:41, Jesus, at the grave of Lazarus, while Lazarus was still dead, we've talked about this a couple of times over the last couple of weeks. Then they took away the stone from the place where the man was lying dead. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And those of us that are sick, those of us that are in trouble financially, those of us that are troubled spiritually in our lives, those of us that have problems in whatever area that we are having problems in, we have to come to a place where we can say, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, because we have planted the seed in the ground. The prayer of faith is believing our prayers have been heard before the answer manifests, before the answer comes and materializes into our lives. We have to begin to confess the answer is true. I am blessed, not because my bank account says I'm blessed. I am blessed because his word says I'm blessed. I am healed, not because my body appears to be healed, but because his word was written and it is a past tense. It is a finished work. I am healed because he said I'm healed. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 through 15 tells us, now this is the confidence that we have in him. Now what is that confidence? The confidence that we have in him is that his promise, our promise that we have is in his promise given. That's our confidence. Our confidence is in his promise given. The seed that has been removed from the bag, the promise has been taken out, and he is faithful to keep it. His faithfulness. We have his promise. We have his faithfulness. It should be done. Let me see. Now that we have the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, because we're asking his will, we're claiming his promise, we're placing it in the good ground, we're confessing that it in the past tense that we have received it, that he has heard us, because we know that he has heard us, whatever we ask, when we know that we have the petitions that we have, that we ask of him, we know we have them because he's faithful. It is before having experienced or being conscious of any change whatsoever that faith rejoices and says, it is written. You know, it's interesting. How many of you seen the Ten Commandments with Moses and stuff? When kings or pharaohs, said anything, they always said this. They made a decree, and then they said, this is the Pharaoh. He would always say this. He would go, so let it be written, or so let it be said, so let it be written. So let it be written, so let it be said. I don't know how he said it, but that's how it was done. He said, look, it's finished. I made a decision. Put it down in stone. This is how it's going to be. And we have a Bible that says it's finished. This is how it's going to be. And it's got stuff in the past tense. This is how it's already been done. Oh, okay. You really? It's all done? Yes. When we ask for healing or anything else, we are to say it on the authority of God's word. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Because God's word says to say it like that. Now, I'm not making this stuff up. I'm just telling you what it says. Faith refuses to see as a reason for doubting anything contrary to the word of God. I don't care what the doctor said. They're giving you a natural report. You have a supernatural vision. It sees health and strength given to us as already belonging to us because of the death of Christ. By his death, the will of God is in force. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 8, verse 13, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be for you. Jesus says, listen, here's the answer to your problem. Now, here's what you have to do with it. Here's the promise, Jesus says. Here it is. Now, this is what I want you to do with it. However you believe in it, let it be done to you. So it, listen, if you take this seed for salvation and don't believe it'll save you, it ain't going to save you. If you take a seed for financial blessing in your life and you don't believe that God wants to have anything to do with your finances, it ain't ever going to grow. If you take a seed for healing in your body, if you don't believe God really wants to heal you or that the sacrifice of Christ was enough, then it ain't going to work. With our natural eyes, we see only the temporal, the inferior things of earth. But with the enlightened eyes of our understanding, we behold the superior, the satisfying, and the lasting realities of God's spiritual and eternal kingdom. Man, I see heaven because I know it's true. I see salvation in my life because I know it's true, because he said it is. I see healing in my life because he said so, not because I did. I see prosperity in my life, not because I want prosperity, but he wants it for me. God said to Abram in Genesis 17:5, neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations I have made thee. Past tense, I have made thee. And since God put this promise into the past tense, Abram did the same thing by acting on his faith, by taking his new name, Abraham, which means the father of a multitude. He stopped calling himself Abram, and he said, my name is now Abraham. I'm the father with no kids. Can you imagine this guy wandering around for 40 years saying, my name's Abram, Abraham? Well, and people look at him because people were named like because of their, I mean, their characteristics of their life were like their name. He's like, you're Abraham. Well, so you must have a passel of kids then. No, not yet. Soon. Yep. Gonna have lots of them. Really? If I told Sherry that I put $50 in her purse, she would know that I've done it, that it's already a finished work. That if I said, hey, honey, I put $50 in your purse, she would go, oh. She wouldn't even look to see if it was in there. She'd just start trying to figure out how to spend it. She'd say, oh, thank you. She'd say, thank you very much. If I said, honey, listen, I put $50 in your purse this morning, she said, thank you. She wouldn't even go verify. She'd just go, oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And then try to figure out how to spend it. My kids call me from South Dakota sometimes, and they tell me, Dad, I'm out of money in my bank account. Can you put $20 in there? Okay, I'll do it right now. Okay. And then about 10 minutes later, I get this thank you because they already spent it. I call the bank, they move the money over, and then the kids spend it, and they go, thank you. And they spend it just that fast. They don't even wait to call me and say, did you do it yet? Did you do it yet? Did you do it yet? They just know it's there. Why is it that we believe the words of others and we need proof from God? Why do we need proof from God? Isn't he proof enough? Isn't all the things that he's done already proof enough? If someone should deed you a home that you never see, that you'd never seen, they deeded you a home, you actually have a home before you see it. If I had a deed to a house and I just wrote it out and gave it to John and said, John, here's a deed to a house. Here you go. John took the deed. He'd actually own the house before he ever saw the house. You know, Hebrews chapter 11, 1 tells us that faith is the evidence, the title, of things not yet seen. A deed makes a home so much yours that you could sell it without even seeing it. John could take the deed after I wrote it over to him and said, here you go, John. Here's a deed to a house. He'd say, well, thank you very much. That's nice right there. House. All right, a deed to a house. They could turn around and go over to Art and say, Art, I just got given this deed to a house. Would you give me $100 for it? And sell it. And then the house wouldn't be John's. It would be Art's. Without ever seeing it. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the title deed to things not seen. Faith is believing you have what God says you have and acting upon it before you either feel it or see it, before you actually have it. You have it because you know you have it because you got the title deed. You got the note. You got the promise. You got the promise. That's all you need because he's faithful. God said to Joshua, see, I have delivered into thy hands Jericho. Joshua and his men put his victory in the past tense as God had done. And the walls of Jericho fell down because they were acting in faith. Jesus said to the 10 lepers, go and show thyselves unto the priest. His words to them were basically, I have given you my word that it's done. They knew the law of the leper. They knew that what his command meant. It meant that they would have to break the laws of men to go see the priest. Just, you know, and a lot like the woman with the issue of blood. She would have to press through and break every law of man to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. And the lepers had to go on their way to show the priest before they received. And so the lepers were healed in the past tense before seeing it. And then they went on their way. By acting in faith, they went to see the priest. And on the way, they were completely made whole. Jonah was delivered in the, put his deliverance in the past tense, calling his symptoms lying vanities. The sacrifice of voice of thanksgiving still while in the stomach of the great fish. The reason thousands are not getting what they pray for is that they keep their blessings in the future tense, which is only hope and not. And faith is what takes things now. It's not faith. Faith grabs a hold of it right now. Hope says it's out there in the future. Faith grabs a hold of what's already been done. Were the gifts of God for the soul and the body mere promised gifts? If the gifts of God were merely promises, promised gifts, we would have to wait for the promiser to fulfill them. It would be his responsibility to fulfill the promise if he'd only promised them. But all the blessings of God are offered as gifts and as promises, but they're gifts and therefore need to be accepted. The responsibility for their transfer is ours. This clears God of the responsibility for any failure. Let me give you an example. Jesus said to the disciples, go and wait, for the Father has a promise of the Holy Spirit he's going to send you. So go and wait for the promise, the coming of the promise. It was future tense. They had to go sit in the upper room and waited until the promise arrived. And then when the promise arrived, listen, I'm just going to give you a clue right now. You don't wait on the Holy Spirit anymore. You don't? No. It's a past tense promise. You receive the Holy Spirit now. You don't ask... You're not waiting for it. We're not tarrying anymore. Listen, if the Holy Spirit was gone, going up and back and out, we'd be in big trouble. He's here. He's here to stay until Jesus returns. That's the promise. And it's already been fulfilled. It got fulfilled in Acts chapter 2. That's what I'm saying. Listen, if the promises were mere promises, then we'd have to wait, which is what the promise of the Holy Spirit was to the disciples. It was a promise that they had to wait for. And they waited, and it arrived. And now today, it's a future tense. It's past tense. It's already past tense for us. We just receive it because it's a gift. It's a gift that must be received. I like to put it this way. There are many gifts in the kingdom of God, okay? Now, don't get hung up on the Christmas tree illustration here, okay? But there are many gifts, and all the gifts, like Christmas, are underneath the tree. All the gifts are there. And this is your choice. All the gifts under the tree are yours, every one of them. You can open one or all of them. Now, how did you handle Christmas? See, I know some kids that would go and open one gift and play with it until they got bored, and then they would open another. Now me, I would open all my gifts and play with all of them at once. See, they have to be apprehended. A gift will sit under the tree until you go get it, until you open it, until you start playing with it. And all the gifts are yours from God. If we will go get them, if we will go apprehend them, the gifts of God are ours. Amen? They're in the past tense. He's already wrapped them, packaged them, put them under the tree, and said, go get them. Christmas is come and gone, and it's time to celebrate. It's time to open your gifts and let God begin to work and manifest himself in every aspect of your life. Could the only reason we were not saved a year earlier than we were be that we did not take what God had provided and was offering us? God was not making us wait. We were making him wait. Let me give you an example. The first time I remember seriously praying the sinner's prayer was in boot camp in 1979. Okay? That was the first time I prayed the sinner's prayer seriously. A friend of mine had been in a car accident. A good friend of mine was in a coma. They told me about it while I was in boot camp. One of the guys in the thing was a born again Christian. He came over and he explained the gospel to me, and we prayed the sinner's prayer, and I cried and believed Jesus, and I accepted him as my personal savior. But it wasn't until Easter Sunday, 1986, while in jail, that I began to appropriate what God had given me. See, I prayed the sinner's prayer in 1979, but I didn't appropriate anything. I didn't open any of the gifts. I didn't begin to let him begin to work in my life. I hadn't appropriated the gifts. He'd promised things to me. He'd made promises to me that I didn't even know about. I even went to a couple of church services while I was in boot camp, but I didn't get it. But in 1986, which is when I believe I was born again, I began to appropriate the promises of God. I began to go after the gifts. And on that next Mother's Day, I followed the Lord in baptism. And on that next Father's Day, I received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I began to appropriate the promises of God. And a few years later, I began to learn about faith. and how faith worked and how you began to appropriate things from God by faith because he had made the promises. And I was only acting upon his promised word. Sometimes I wonder how we're saying, oh, I'm waiting on God, and he's already put it in the past tense, and we've got it in the future tense. It's going to happen someday. Some would say that God will heal me in his own good time. Well, that's hope. Faith says that God has healed me. It's by his stripes I was healed, am healed. It's a finished work. I'm glad most of you and all of you, I'm assuming all of you in here, have asked Jesus into your heart and that you've put your salvation into the past tense. That you've said, I'm saved, I've asked Jesus into my heart and life, and I've appropriated the promise of Jesus Christ for my salvation. Well, I'm telling you, the same cross that Jesus hung on is the same cross that healed you, that blessed you, that provided every promise and every redemption from every curse that ever came on mankind has been redeemed by the blood of Jesus and by the cross of Jesus, every single one. And all we have to do is begin to appropriate the promises that have already been given to us. Amen? Already been completed, already been put in the past tense. We've just got to put them in the past tense ourselves. Faith takes hold of what God offers now. It doesn't wait. It says, I have it now. And I thank you, God, that you hear me and you hear my prayers now. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we just love you and we thank you. We thank you for the past tense words that you have provided us. God, that you have made many promises to us, O God, and you put them in the past tense. And Father, we right now receive those things into our hearts and lives. We're going to begin to put them into the past tense of our lives, God. We're going to walk by faith and believe that we receive all that you have for us. We're going to open up all the gifts and promises that you've made to us and begin to let them operate in our lives. Open our hearts and minds. With every eye closed and every head bowed, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, or you've drifted from that relationship, you haven't appropriated yet the promises of God into your heart and life, I want to pray with you. We don't want to miss an opportunity to do that. If you'll slip up your hands, we'll pray with you. Amen. Amen. Lord, I just pray for every person that is hearing this message right now. Open their hearts, open their minds to receive this word. And that they would begin to appropriate the promises of God. That they would begin to put them into the past tense and receive them. And let the seed of God begin to grow in their hearts and lives. God, we just give you all the praise, all the glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.